Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mary Lurson. I'm the Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, and welcome to Talking Up Music Education. We are here live in Indianapolis at the Music for All Bands of America remarkable event in the Lucas Oil Stadium. If you're a football fan or have a Indiana Colts obsession or any type of NFL obsession, you know that Lucas Oil Stadium is one of those ground zero places in the fall. But for a few precious hours on a really wonderful weekend, it's taken over by marching bands from around the country. And we are just so delighted to be here. So we're here in a little suite adjacent to the entertainment level or the event level here at Lucas Stadium. The bands are going in and out off of the field. So instead of football cleats, we're hearing the rolling thunder of percussion batteries and xylophones and marching bands and young people, high school aged kids from all over the country and their families and their communities and their teachers. And yes, my heart is swelled to being overwhelmed to be here. And I'm here with the grand leader of this great organization, truly President and CEO of Music for All, Eric Martin. Eric, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary, and welcome back.
For taking a precious minute here from the wildness of this grand event. So for folks who don't know the level of impact, excitement, activity, what's happening here? Set the scene for us.
This is the Bands of America Grand National Championships, and probably in the marching band community and scholastic education, it's the largest gathering of everyone involved in music education at one event. So there are 100 high school bands competing for the title of Bands of America Grand National Champion here this weekend with us, coming from 23 states. The furthest groups have traveled from two groups from the state of Hawaii who are here with us this weekend.
Wow, that's an undertaking. Yep. Now, as I walk from my hotel down Capitol to Lucas Oil Stadium, I either stood out or I disappeared. I think I felt like I disappeared in a crowd of crowds of band kids that were coming through, because some of them are in between performing now, right?
Oh, yes.
And they're doing other things in the city, right?
They are highly engaged in our city. Indianapolis is a city that truly understands the power of music making, and it has a real commitment to scholastic music making. It really has a commitment to young men and women in those formative years in terms of being a place that they can come to and that the city is known as being a destination. So even as a co-sponsor of this event with us, Visit Indy has, you know, it's taken on a moniker of naming, seeing itself as the destination for marching music and for music making for high school students. So we have over 16,000 students here, supported by their parents, boosters, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles. They've all come to our city. And we're not the only musical or music education thing going on. We're sharing the convention center also with the Percussive Arts Society, which is having its international conference here at the same time. So when you take the fact that we have probably 35,000 unique people in town in Indianapolis, plus another 10,000 from PAS, Indianapolis is all about music making this weekend.
Well, that's wonderful. And 16,000 music students, you said?
Yes.
It's amazing. Now, again, when you walk through a town that's committed to hosting this many people from half of the states in the union, yes, it's full of coaches, it's full of tour buses. Yes. And as I was walking here also, the 18-wheelers from the marching bands in Texas were rumbling yes. down the street yes. as well. So there's some remarkable communities here that have really committed tremendous infrastructure and traditions to their music education programs.
What's exciting is that this event does draw the cream of the crop. It draws the strongest programs in America. But there are also, you know, if I said that, you know, 30 of the strongest programs here, there are also 70 other programs that are on that journey that are growing and learning, coming from large communities, small communities. This morning, I try to walk around and be anonymous and take it in myself. And I'm actually eavesdropping on every conversation that I can have. So I actually, when I was eating breakfast, listened to parents from Mason High School, talked to parents from Flower Mound High School. And the conversations went to music. It went to their children's involvement. They started to talk about their school environments. They started to, then their conversation drifted to things going on in America. So I think that this unique event provides an extension. I've been telling everyone that all fall that band, orchestra, even football and choir and everything else, we are America's civic lesson in the classroom now. So much can be done individually or with a computer in terms of traditional learning, but nothing can replace that opportunity for peer-to-peer learning, for learning collaboration, for having common goals, for cooperation. And for me, when I stand at a finale, be it at our regional or here at Grand Nationals, and I see thousands of young men on the field, young men and women on the field, and they're there collectively, common purpose, getting it done. That's when all of the fear that I could have about what's happening in terms of the dissension in America, people going into their own polar existences, the future is bright and beautiful because I know that I have 16,000 leaders here this weekend, and there are thousands more on the way.
Eric, you couldn't have said it more graciously, I think, in terms of the impact that we know music education can have on these lives, yeah. Right? I had this 4-block walk coming to Lucas Oil Stadium this morning, sharing it with probably a couple of thousand band kids, and you could just feel it with their connection to one another, and they're teenagers too, right? But they have a community.
They have a community.
They have one another, yes. Because of they have a shared goal and a shared purpose. And what they're doing on this field with their marching band programs is so sophisticated. You want to tell us a little bit about that? I mean, you know, the drum lines and the choreography and the arrangements and the original music.
It's beyond me. And this is the only part of our scholastic environment where whatever you did last year is not good enough this year. And that it's a progression, the art form is developing, just as we see in professional arts and seeing things that have been done for years, the way orchestras are approaching concerts, when you look at what's happening on Broadway, that all of that is happening on the marching field. Every 15 minutes, we have over 100 different shows, Broadway shows, mm-hmm. musical, artistic performances, mm-hmm. stories being told on the field, and it's involving props, it's involving music being performed at a level that certainly when I was in high school band, I once had a master teacher talk to, and I was trying to give him a compliment and just saying that it was happened to be Alfred Watkins, who was at Lasser High School, and I was trying to give him a compliment, and I said, Alfred, you know, I would not have made your top band if I'd been at Lasseter, and his response kind of smugly was that, yes, you would have, because I would have taught you.
Right. I would have made sure you made, and, right, and, that's the and, whole idea.
And that's what's happening. Right. And these young men and women are so responsive to every opportunity. They're getting an opportunity to work with some of the best and most creative minds in the country. And they're also, I hear story after story of them lending their own ideas to what they're producing so that they too are seeing it as a creative element. Mm-hmm. When we were having our meeting, our state advocacy meeting yesterday, we had the superintendent of Elkhart Schools who made a comment that truly America today in terms of where we are in terms of STEM and how we ranked in the world, is about where we were in the 1950s. Yet, the world still comes to America to learn, yes, the basics that go into math, science, and English and everything, but what they're really looking for is the creative spirit. And that's what's being delivered when we are providing artistic experiences that are growing, that are changing, that are always telling the story that they're trying to translate to their audience. And that's a form of communication, whether you're making a product, whether you're trying to communicate an idea, these are 21st century skills that are going to be useful. And they show up every 15 minutes on our field.
I know. So for folks who can't be here in this environment, is everything available on your webcast? Can they look at last year's Grand National so they can, people can, you know, take it in one of these experiences?
Well, Mary, I wish I could say that was absolutely true. But as we and all of the organizations try to navigate through the copyright laws and making sure that we meet those, what people can do is that whenever there is a Bands of America event, that they can, there's an organization that we partner with called Flow Marching, which actually provides live webcast of our events. So that those are great opportunities for people to look and to listen and to experience it. But for it, contemporaneously right now, the best way is to do the absolute best thing for the children as well, be there.
Be there. And if there's 100 communities here, everyone is with probably within a drive of one of those communities to go participate and enjoy that program.
From September to November, there are hundreds of marching band competitions going on every week of every ilk and quality. And we owe it to the children who are participating to be there. And then it doesn't end with marching band season. But, you know, we as an organization, we're really thrilled that in March we will have our first ever National Choir Festival. But there is show choir, there is choir, there is orchestra, there are drama events. The performing arts are alive and well. And for many communities, scholastic performance is what's available and what's there. That's the launching point. And I'm sure almost every person who is on at Broadway, I know that I can speak about the principal, you know, trumpet player for the New York Philharmonic and others who have come through our programming, that we're everywhere. And it starts in that scholastic environment. It starts with just the first time someone inspires you or you choose to pick up an instrument or use your voice. That's where it all starts. And the methodology for wanting to work harder at it is that we teach kids in our programs that the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. The same thing is true for a community. The more support you put into it, the better results that you're going to get as a community.
So you're speaking of what we both are believing in so strongly, carrying on our shoulders, is the opportunity for every child to have what you've, you know, we're building a continuum, I think, across the country of ongoing conversations, yes, ongoing promotion, telling the story, sharing the research, pushing in on our school administrators and our leadership. It's not optional.
And for me, Mary, it's personal because I need to do nothing more than wake up and look in the mirror every day and can see the story of music education and its impact. Mm-hmm. That's what has me where I am now. And I could have been on a far different path.
I think we share that story. I tell a quick story of how the fact that it was available for me, I look back now, it was kind of a blooming miracle, I call it. But it was there because of the adults that were in the room that were making decisions about what the children in the community should experience. And now, Eric, we're the adults in the room.
Exactly.
And we're pushing and making sure this opportunity is available.
And I'll even give you a different story that for me, growing up in Mississippi and seeing and being there, when I started learning to make music was the same year that schools integrated in my community. And the adult in the room was, quite frankly, music making, supported by wonderful teachers who knew that if they were going to be successful, they needed everyone. And the door was wide open. So, and, you know,
another version of a blooming miracle.
Absolutely. Right? Exactly.
But we need to, you know, so much of our NAMP Foundation work for our Support Music Coalition is all about, you know, being the adults in the room now and carrying forward to make sure that this new generation has the opportunity that we had, and that it translates from being a blooming miracle to being real policy and being real, you know, honest funding for something that is a core to education. So I want to jump to, you've been at this for how many years?
I have been at it at Music for All since 1996, right, but I had similar involvements prior to that in just doing special events. I used to produce the Martin Luther King National Holiday Parade, San Francisco Chinese New Year Parade. So I've been in festival and events since 1987.
So as you've worked with, especially here at Music for All, work with students, communities, school administrators, parents, How has it changed? I mean, what are, you know, including what are some of the genuine challenges of this time?
It's The wonderful thing about America is that we are in a universal discussion about how best to prepare the next generation of Americans. Education is front of mind. I think that what I'm finding, though, is that with all of the technology we do produce, there's a concentration on measuring, proving, testing. And we, as you know, we're in an area where sometimes that's not necessarily best validated by a test result. And I personally believe that we have a responsibility for community. And I always get a little on the edge in terms of how I see the America I live in and the hope and everything that really has made me who I am is under threat as we find so many different ways to communicate. And so the music, the arts, now more than ever, providing a unanimity of opportunity for people to come together and to have dialogue in a non-threatening environment, in an inspiring environment. That's what the focus has to be on. I wish you had been with us here on Wednesday night. We present annually the Indianapolis Marching Band Tournament. So we live in a city that has one of the grandest sports and performance palaces on the planet. Well, it also has to be accessible to the children of the men and women who make our city work and in the core urban areas. So we present annually our most urban bands and challenge programs from a total educational standpoint, and always trying to make sure that in whatever drive we have to try to define academic success as success on testing, that there still is the outlet for the artistic engagement, the community engagement. So they were here, and the treat of the evening for me that I can look at, no matter how hard that work sometimes seems, to make sure that there's opportunity and access. The two bands from Hawaii were in special exhibition. The appreciation from the parents, the fellow students, the camaraderie that existed, there was an exchange of culture, American culture, separated by thousands of miles that could not be replaced in an academic setting that took place in 2 15-minute performances and the interaction. And you could watch the eyes from the field to the eyes in the stand and see that that was as valuable a social studies lesson, that was as valuable a community building lesson as you could possibly have. I have yet to see any type of engagement scholastically that betters that which is provided and offered by the arts.
And we just, you know, that's such a wonderful story that you just told. We say the power of what we're doing is outside the bubble test. I mean, the bubble test we know is valuable for what it means. So I think, do you feel that communities more and more are supporting this opportunity? I mean, are we still challenged with the reality of, well, yes, we'll get to it if we can have some other funding for some other core things? Or is it just embraced the value of the richness that it brings to education?
I believe that theoretically the value of the richness of the arts and its value in education and generally in society is universally recognized. I am grateful for having the experience of going with NAFME to the Hill last summer. And I didn't walk into a single Indiana representative's office who didn't say, we know that arts are very important. But then when you're talking about whether or not people are fed, what are the economics of a community, it gets lost in the conversation. So we have to have a way of making it top of mind. My experience in working at Music for All, we have 100 bands that are here this weekend. Those that are coming from suburban, well-funded communities, we don't worry about whether or not there's going to be music education there. That is an investment, a commitment that community, both from a standpoint of scholastic funding by government, as well as parental and community investment, it's constant. It's there. It's growing. What has to happen, though, is that whether or not the playing field is going to be level for those who are more challenged with day-to-day experiences. Mm-hmm. If we could take the reason why suburban parents and communities build their communities based on the quality of their schools and the quality of the total experience that exists for families in their community and translate that same commitment and make it available to everyone, particularly in our most challenged communities, that's where the change is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, as an organization, Music for All, I feel that we are a citizen of Indianapolis. And the probably the most heartwarming thing is that in leading this organization and having a personal commitment that we're going to be successful in urban communities and find solutions, I've talked openly to the directors, the parents, and communities. They've stood on the 50-yard line and said that we have to make sure there's equity and opportunity. And all I get is support and applause. So in many ways, that while we're telling the message of the artistry at the grandest levels at a grand national competition, it also, parents are able to engage and see that they don't mind and support organizations like Music for All taking some of those resources to reapply them to provide equity and a voice for those who don't have. Mm-hmm. Because that they imagine a world, as I do, that's filled with the same opportunities that their own children have. Mm-hmm. And because that the results that come from them are undeniably good.
So ultimately, it's the relentless work of advocacy and creating policies and getting school boards to understand and getting them to allocate and getting them to, you know, and that's our collective work, right, Eric? That's what we do together.
It is across
the fabric of so many organizations, people, you know, we represent together. Yes. Something that we care about. So,
and it shows up in many ways. We have a relationship with the Tournament of Roses, and unfortunately, Gerald Feeney, who will be the 2019 president of tournament, he would be coming here to select one of the participating bands to be in his parade. And he had worked in law enforcement, and he, like so many others, have talked about the idea that I'd rather build a gang with colors that have uniforms, that are making beautiful music, that are learning cooperation, than the other kind of gang alternatives. Mm-hmm. And that everything that we do, band, choir, orchestra, we're bringing together groups of people and having them as a community become mutually supportive. And that's all it will take to ensure that just like the 50s and just like now, the rest of the world comes to America for creativity, for leadership ideas, and for values.
You know, I think, Eric, maybe today we have hatched a new motto, being a gang, being the gang of the band, right? We need to talk with our law enforcement colleagues about. Go back to, you know, something that a great line that was created in the 40s, teach a kid to blow a horn and he won't blow a safe.
like that.
You know, it's amazing how we keep coming, yeah. kind of, you know, keep coming around decade after decade. But again, now, you know, your organization, the NAMM Foundation, our Support Music Coalition, and you've been a part of that since its very, very beginning. We just stay at this, right? We just creating these conversations and speaking to our elected officials, our school board members, our school administrators. Bring them here, bring them to this environment where they can see the power and the unity that occurs with young people through this.
Yep. Mary, personally and organizationally, the leadership that NAMM Foundation and others have brought to just keep the attention there and to provide a level of support and security to know that what we're doing is the right thing. It's more than the right thing. It's the thing that we must do.
The thing that we must do. Yep. Eric, once again, you know, I can't thank you enough for your thoughtfulness, your leadership, your understanding. You have so much insight about this that you've taken very deeply to your awareness and consciousness and your service to this organization. Any final thoughts before we close?
I just hope that, and I know our mission keeps the pressure on us. It demands that we take action. And we've been working tirelessly in our community and our staff. I'm supported by some wonderful people who also get it. And I look at all of the students who travel for thousands of miles to be here to perform. And then organizationally, I love the fact that we're about to get on the bus and move up and down the I-69 corridor from Gary to Mobile, taking that message and taking on an active engagement and being the number one booster and band, you know, booster member and leader in trying to make sure that all children have opportunity and access to engage in active music making in his or her scholastic environment. That's our commitment.
You can't say it better than that. Eric, I'm so honored to be with you, and we're so honored to be here. And thank you for your wonderful accommodation for us at Talking at Music Education and the NAMP Foundation to be here and to have these conversations. And to all of you that hopefully have joined us, have shared this, we'll be uploading this after we edit it to our podcast, so we'll be available pretty much forever to listen to this conversation with Eric Martin, the President and CEO of Music for All. So we'll sign off here now from Music for All Bands of America Grand Nationals here in Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium. And thank you for being part of it. And remember,
together we keep music education strong.
Thank you.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. Namm. That's Mary L. N. A. M. M.